With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. Howell and Jamie here. It's time for an episode about Game of Thrones, amongst other things. So let's crack on. Nice to have you with us. Today's episode is brought to you by jamiesgotajob.com. Yes.
Yay!
Jamie has found employment. Who'd have thought that this would happen? Jamie has officially found employment before me, and the bookies had the odds through the floor on that one, let me tell you.
I got bills. I got to pay. And I'm going to work not today.
Yeah, I saw there was a job at a local charity shop as a charity shop manager looking
after
the old ladies.
Why didn't you take it?
I might do, you know. Is it RSPCA as well? It could be fun, that, couldn't it?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so Jamie's job is in?
I'm a salesman. I'm going to be selling shit. Okay. And I'm looking forward to selling shit. I've got a feeling that I'm going to be a damn good seller of shit.
I'm sorry, but maybe you will. Maybe you will. But I have never.
I don't know. We'll give it a go.
Wow, get me a job once you've got in there, then. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get you. I'll probably need an assistant at some point. So I'll let you know.
That would be a fun dynamic. Let's crack on. Last week we talked about Walking Dead and whether or not I should continue watching it. Today we're going to do a similar thing, but for Game of Thrones, because Ben has never watched Game of Thrones. He was on last week hammering on me about watching Walking Dead. So maybe you love Game of Thrones, maybe you've watched it all, maybe you've given up halfway through, or maybe you haven't even started. We're going to find out the reasons and if it's possible to persuade somebody to watch that thing when they don't like the idea of dragons and fantasy and stuff. All the things we know puts people off. So we will come to that. Jamie's got some news. We've got a chart with Ben and more. I just want to quickly touch base on the new Supergirl. Watched
the pilot. Oh, yes. What your thought?
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of a terrible script.
It
was an hour-long episode, the pilot, and it was like they put 12 episodes in one. Honestly, it was like big problem resolved within 2 minutes. It would be resolved. You know, the plane would be landed or the tanker would be stopped or whatever. And it was like a true pilot in the sense of it was like they'd written an advert for everything that was possible to happen in the entire season. But this has had a detrimental effect. They've gone from like 21 million to 8 million between the pilot and episode two.
Yeah, because it started really strong, so it's dropped off massively, hasn't it?
30% drop off.
Ouch!
And I can totally see why, because if they took the time with it, it's got the makings of something really good, I think. But some of the lines in it, oh my God, like within the first minute you had somebody going, of course you can't do that because you're from an alien planet and you can pick up cars. It was literally lines like that. And you kind of went, oh, well, this is quite self-knowing. It's doing it. It's being overly expositional to get it all out of the way at the beginning.
That's quite surprising because the team behind it is the team that did Arrow and The Flash, and they're really successful. So I'm surprised
it's not dog poo. It's just that it feels like they made an advert, a pilot that showed off all its skills at the beginning, and I hope that what they'll do now is take it slower, and go into a bit more less comic, but comic depth. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been watching, and this is
The Muppets.
This is I've been watching Mr. Robot. I remember a listener emailed us about this, telling us to watch Mr. Robot, and you can get it on Amazon. And it's a hacking drama. It's about hacking. It's about computer wizards working away in the underground, trying to bring down major corporations. Mm. And it's really, really good. It's really good. Like, it's the main character, he's a bit morose. He's a bit depressed. And he's like, you hear he's in a thoughts and he's in a sort of monologue, and he can be quite downbeat. But the world is really exciting. It's really enjoyable. It's quite a good thriller. It's got Christian Slater's in it as Mr. Robot.
Really?
Yeah, he's really good. He's quite good, isn't he?
He's the hacker.
He's one of the hackers. He's involved. But the main guy is also like this whiz kid hacker. You've got to watch it just for the main guy. His name is Rami Malek. And he looks and sounds a lot like a hipster version of Willem Dafoe, if you could imagine.
Yeah.
He's got that voice. He's got a really like dark sort of creepy sort of but sexy voice, I imagine, for the ladies. Yeah. It's worth a watch. It's really good. And it's only one season in. It's been renewed for a second season. Right. It's one of the best new shows I've seen.
Really?
Very good. Yeah.
I'd do that over Supergirl then. Of course, the Muppets has started on Sky One in the UK. Have you watched any of it?
No, not seen any yet.
You really should. I laugh out loud at it every week.
I thought you weren't sure about it.
Well, what I wasn't sure about was the sanctity of the humour that the Muppets has. So the Muppets, it's never cruel humour, which was always quite original with the Muppets, really, was that they weren't really being cruel. And in this, because they're doing, it's essentially like Modern Family or 30 Rock, but with the Muppets. Okay. So it's a lot of the humour is sarcasm, little comments to the camera behind someone's back, you know, or whatever. But it's on the right side of cruel. And they did on this episode, they did a fake blooper. So they did like a Miss Piggy had been caught on camera and somebody plays it out on TV. And it's Miss Piggy. And it's Miss Piggy at a party running up saying, "I'm more important than her," or something, and then tripping over and slamming her face into some cake. Nice. What follows that then, you think it's over, and then she falls under the table, grabbing the tablecloth and pulls the cake down on top of her as well. And it's this brilliant sort of three-stage reality. It's like a proper blooper, you know. And just to be able to do that is one thing. To make that funny is one thing, but to make it actually as funny as a blooper is really hard, and it was funny. And it's things like that. There are, and like the episode we've just watched is the idea that Kermit struggles working with his friend. Fozzie is his friend, and he's got to be his boss and his friend. And so how does he tell Fozzie that the sketch that he's written is really rubbish? And so Kermit's like hiding in his office with the lights off while Fozzie's looking through the window.
Yeah, yeah.
Going, "Why are you standing in the dark, Kermit?" And it's like, it's really funny. And so it is really, it's well worth picking up now. You've only missed three episodes, so I'd jump on it. News time now.
News time, let's get into it. So I didn't get a chance to go through a lot of the stuff last week, so I'll briefly run down some of the stuff on the boxsetpod.com/news. You go there, there's lots of the latest trailers, some really good new trailers, exciting stuff starting in November, including with Bob and David on Netflix. This looks really good. Yeah, Saul Goodman's Bob Odenkirk, the comedian.
Oh, yeah.
He and David Cross, they used to work on a TV show in the 90s called Mr. Show. It was a groundbreaking sketch show. We never made it over here, but in America, it was a really influential show. And they're back together, working together. It's David Cross from Arrested Development, who plays Tobias.
Oh, yeah.
They're together, and they've got their own new sketch show starting on Netflix this month. I think it's the 13th of November, and that looks really good. Looks brilliant. I'm really excited about that. Also, there's a few other really good trailers on there. There's trailers for Billions. This is a new Showtime show, and it's got a great cast. It's got Damian Lewis. It's got Paul Giamatti. It's about a U.S. attorney who's trying to bring down a billionaire hedge fund, Knob Cheese, played by Damian Lewis. It looks really good. This is a really good trailer. It's worth a look on there to see that. Also, there's the latest
Showtime, obviously attractive to actors because they're the ones who took the risk on Breaking Bad. Was
Showtime
it Breaking Bad?
No, that was AMC.
Oh, okay.
Showtime brought us Homeland.
Homeland.
What else did they have? We had a few others, but I mean, yeah, mainly Homeland, and also on there's another trailer for Marvel's Jessica Jones. Right. This is another Marvel show. This is all part of the big new Marvel universe that includes Daredevil. It's in the same Hell's Kitchen world.
Right.
They're going to bring out a new show called Luke Cage as well. And they're bringing it all together, really. They're going to, I think they're going to have a big character mashup at some point. But the first series of Jessica Jones is going to be starting soon. Other trailers. There's a trailer for the new TV show on AMC coming out, I believe it will be next year. It's called Preacher. Written and directed by Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg. Right. So it's got a bit of comedy in there. It's a funny, violent, dark comic book, again, related show.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Dominic Cooper. You know from Mamma Mia? Remember Dominic Cooper? The guy, the love interest. Yeah, he's in History Boys as well. He's good looking.
I haven't watched Mamma Mia.
Well, yeah, it's an awful film. I watched it at the cinema with a lady, I remember, and hated its guts. But he is playing the preacher. It's also got Joseph Gilgan, who's from This Is England. You know Woody from This Is England?
Yeah.
He's in it. He's from Chorley.
Really?
Yeah, he's from Chorley. No, I only realised recently, but he's playing a vampire in this preacher show, and there's a really good trailer for that. It's worth a watch. News-wise, there's a few little bits I just want to mention. First of all, George R. R. Martin, the maker of Game of Thrones, which we're going to be discussing later, he had another book out called The Skin Trade, which is a little bit about werewolves and private investigators and serial killers. It's going to be dark. Very dark, and they're making that into a TV show. They're currently developing a show out of that, so a lot of his work's getting adapted at the moment. Also, I want to mention Jekyll and Hyde started on ITV. Now, it's had over like 500 complaints. It started at 6:30 on a Sunday 2 weeks ago,
right.
The first episode, and it was pretty graphic for a 6:30 time slot. I think it was going for that sort of Doctor Who style audience,
yeah.
And it showed a lot of like quite gruesome stuff, including like someone being shot in the stomach.
Ooh.
a man being burned alive. So, you know, you're eating your Sunday roast. It's not ideal material, you know, to get into. So it got huge complaints. I've not actually watched it myself yet, but
yeah.
It's been written by Charlie Higson.
That Britain loves, and it's having a complaint about something.
I don't think I've ever complained about anything other than like a meal at a restaurant, maybe, or maybe a bill, or
yeah, exactly, financial stuff. That's what you should complain about.
I've never complained about entertainment stuff ever in my life. I've just not watched it all.
You can
turn his channel over. That's the thing.
Before you get to your last news story, I want to bring on our guest this week, fan of the Box Set Pod. His name's Jack Boardman, and he's officially a nobody. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Howell.
Jack's
That's really rude, Howell.
What?
It's quite an introduction.
What? At least last week we could say Matt did his own podcast. Matt, what's Jack? He's a student. He's sat on his. Are you in halls of residence, Jack? Tell us a bit about yourself.
I'm currently back in very foggy Lancaster at the moment.
Home.
Yeah, not much to offer, unfortunately, in Lancaster.
See, point proven.
Judging by your Skype picture, you've got yourself a babe on the go. You've got a girlfriend.
I have. I'm currently trying to persuade to watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's nicely segued into the point.
Yes.
Because the last statement Jamie made, he was slowly lowering his pants to his ankles. And now he's whipped them back up as we turn on to Game of Thrones. So,
yeah.
Game of Thrones then. That's what Jack is going to be talking about with us. But the reason I brought him in now is because Jamie's about to do a story based on our subject from last week. And Jack's got some opinions on that as well, I believe. So, Jamie, what's the story?
Okay. Well, it's interesting because one of the points that you were trying to bring up last week when we were talking about Walking Dead, Howell, was you made the point that is the violence going to have a detrimental effect on society?
Yeah.
And just after sort of that chat we had, Ben emailed the story across, and I put it on the boxsetpod.com/news website. You can check it out. Basically, in America, as ever, a man claims he killed his friend because he believed he was turning into a zombie.
Wow.
So, what? They were binge-watching. They were binge-watching episodes of The Walking Dead. The guy's name was Damon Perry. He was in New Mexico. Him and his friend Christopher Paquin were watching, binge-watching The Walking Dead, drinking heavily. Perry became convinced his friend was turning into a zombie, and in a state of panic, he fatally attacked his friend, Mr. Paquin. And, yeah.
First of all, so, this is a real death he's talking about.
This is a real death. This is really happened to somebody.
So, I don't like you. Well. I don't like your overly dramatic tone. And I also don't like the fact that you can't confidently pronounce the man's name.
Well, I can't, Howell. It's Paquin or Paquin. I'm not disrespecting him.
Well, I'm just saying you might be. Right? You might be. So this is the kind
I think
of
this
thing
is a terrible story. If you go to the website, you'll see I put a really good point on the website.
Yeah.
The news page. I said, of course, events like this, when they occur, it's easy to condemn and criticise violent TV and film content.
Mm.
And of course, we should respect that this happened. What happened to this man is absolutely atrocious, and it's a terrible event. I feel so sorry for his family. But we should also remember that millions of people watch The Walking Dead every single week, and incidents such as this are both terrible but extremely rare. Very rarely does this happen, okay?
So last week I was criticised by Ben for... for asking a very deep question about The Walking Dead, and I don't take criticism well, which is why I then have spent the last week doing a lot of in-depth research into zombie films, okay?
Oh, okay, sure.
Would you like to hear the summation of my research?
not really.
Would you to?
not really bothered.
Get this. My question was, why is zombie stuff always so massively popular? And horror as well is always such a massive genre. You know, Walking Dead is a good TV series, but why is it watched by billions of people? And there's a really good study that has been done fairly recently, and it says that it's kind of what you guys were saying last week about the idea of would I be the one that survived. So it says that since the sort of turn of World War II, the Holocaust, things like that, we've become really obsessed with the idea of big apocalyptic things up against us. But it's more about our general fear of death. We are all going to die at some point, but something in us says maybe we'll be the one to survive. Maybe everybody else is the stupid ones who will get caught, and we won't. We will be the winners, the survivors. And that is why we latch onto zombie stuff and horror stuff, because we like, in the adrenaline rush of it all, to think that we would be the ones that powered through. Which I think you'll agree is basically what you guys were saying last week.
Yeah, I think that's basically what we said, isn't it?
Mm. But I think the effect of, you know, World War II is fascinating on this stuff, that things like the Holocaust made us start to make stories that were about, you know, great extremes of good and evil.
I think my criticism of the question was less based in the facts and more based in not wanting to have a question where the answer was death, the apocalypse, and the Holocaust being something we wanted to talk about on the box set pod.
Well, but I think that this podcast is not quoted in an encyclopedia within the next 10 years, I'll be very disappointed. But yeah, point taken. But that brings us on to Jack gave up on The Walking Dead, but he has watched all of the Game of Thrones. Jack came late to it. Oh, we haven't done the chart.
Yes. Yeah, going to pause you there, Howell. Let's go straight into the chart.
Ben, have you got the latest chart for us?
I do have the chart, but let's race through it. Number 10 is Castle. Still, nice. Nobody with any sense has watched that. Number 9 is American Horror Story. It's probably about the Holocaust. Number 8 is Homeland, which is getting better and better this season. Number 7, Grimm. Number 6, The Affair. Number which I love. I don't know if anybody else likes
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's pause for a moment on The Affair.
Will you sing the theme song?
Back into the ocean.
I was thinking.
Amazing. That's the only reason why I watch it.
Me too. That is the number one reason to watch it.
I can't believe it's in the top 10, though, because I didn't imagine it would be that popular, which is...
Well, we know that our internet department hates it, doesn't he?
Yeah, Adam hates it. Yeah, that's true.
And it's for me, it's annoying because it's a whodunit, and we didn't even find out who'd done it by the end of season one. That's annoying.
Did we even find out who they'd done at the end of season one?
No. Yeah.
You didn't even know.
It was the brother, wasn't it? I don't know.
I think you do find out. I find with I'm watching season two, and I do really like it. But I'm like Adam. When Adam said to us on one of the earlier podcasts about he didn't like the main characters in it, and that's bothering me more and more in season two. Like I'm starting to really not like the main characters a bit more, and finding it harder, a bit more of a struggle. But it is still really, I really like the idea of it. How it shows different perspectives of the same events. It's really interesting. But, yeah, anyway, I'm surprised it's in the top 10.
Just to go back to, caveman levels of storytelling, there is an issue with not being able to empathise with the character. I know we're in this world now where we go Breaking Bad and everything. Do you have to like the main character? Well, no, but we do watch stories to make sense of our own lives on a basic level, don't we? We watch stuff and we go, what are we learning from this? And there is a problem with The Affair where you watch it and you go, I know not to cheat on my wife and then to get in all this shit. And you begin to need something else, at least whodunit. You begin to need to know some of the basics on it. Have you not found any problems with that, Ben?
My biggest problem is that I don't like any of them. Yeah. They're all rich white people who are navel gazing into their own problems.
Just want to put that down on record. Ben hates white people.
It really, I am a racist like that, and it does. Yeah, I think it's sort of navel gazing issues, but I do like the structure of it and the way you have different. Perspectives and stuff like that,
which I thought would get tired very quickly, and it didn't. It was
yeah, it doesn't. And I've been watching. I watched Mr. Robot this week.
I've been watching
which
that.
Doesn't,
yeah,
it's. I can't stand it. It's like Fight Club for 13-year-olds. And
let's just go jump back 15 minutes to Jamie's quote. It's the best new thing I've seen in a long time.
But Will, is that because you've not seen Fight Club in a long time? I mean, it's basically just like that's what I can't bear it. It's unbearable,
Jamie.
But it does a similar thing.
Come on, Jamie.
You know, Ben's ripped in a new one there.
Chris? What's he called? Christian
Slater.
Christian Slater, is he or is he not a shit Tyler Durden?
Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah, you're right. I hadn't made this comparison before now. You've probably ruined it for me now, Ben, to be honest with you. I really am. I'm enjoying it, though. I'm into episode 7 now, and I know that there's a lot of annoying characters in it, and you get a bit sick of his inner monologue voice. He's very
Is he still talking?
Yeah. so that's an issue for me, but I'm enjoying the development of the story a bit more. Like I watched an episode last night and it left me going, okay, I really need to see the next one now. I really need to know what happened. But I do see the Fight Club comparison. Yeah,
good,
thank you.
Well, that's that ruined for Jamie. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Big Bang Theory.
Dropping down the charts.
Dropping down the charts. Number 4, Vikings, which I'm yet to see.
Yeah, Jack, have you seen Vikings?
No, I've not watched it, but I have heard good things about it.
Yeah, sorry. You get back in your basket, Jack. I mean, I thought it was you who'd emailed about it at some point, but it obviously wasn't. All right, Ben, no. Carry on.
Number three, Downton Abbey. Number two is the Vampire Diaries.
Anyone watch that?
And no, but no. I think, it's fundamentally about the Holocaust, isn't it?
Probably.
And number one is The Walking Dead.
There we go. Game of Thrones, okay. Welcome to it. Last week I was persuaded to carry on watching the old Walking Dead. Now, I feel like we've got a harder challenge this week. As Ben is a busy man, Ben is fervently against Game of Thrones, almost like a religion. We're not sure.
I would say vehemently.
Vehemently. That's vehemently and fervently. Ben, would you like to tell us, first of all, did you watch the first episode of Game of Thrones today?
I did. I watched it this morning. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
But I don't know if I can watch any more. I mean, it's just so fucking silly. And I can't stand Sean Bean.
Like, really?
He's just a northern accent. On legs. That's all he is.
Oh, he's so
he doesn't do anything. I love Mark Addy, who's brilliant and a really nice guy and just cool. But then, yeah.
Which
like,
one's Mark Addy?
Their
King
story.
Baratheon,
he's the king.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and their story I thought was the most interesting one. I quite like their story. But then there's all these other characters, and they've all got silly haircuts, and there's sort of all these different tribes and all these different places, and. I thought it was going to be a bit more like oldie worldy language, you know. I thought there's going to be a lot of thous and that kind of bollocks, but there's not. It's quite dialogue's pretty good, but it is all a bit like, you know, you've dishonored the king and things like that, and I just think that's just nonsense.
I think this is a good level of opposition for a first episode. Like, I watched the new Supergirl last night, and my opposition was far greater than this. And I think you're right. That's how I felt when I watched the first one. You're kind of pleasantly surprised that it's a bit more of a drama and a bit less of a Shakespearean wank around. which is.
So but I quite like that it was sort of. It felt like a sort of big, broad drama.
Yeah.
I liked that. And it was directed by Tim Van Patten, who I love. Because he did The Sopranos and The Wire. Yeah. And then he created Boardwalk Empire, which I miss. I miss Boardwalk Empire. Mm. And so it was sort of nice to see this sort of epic thing that he'd done, and I sort of bought into it. But I just thought, I can't watch all these people and all these different families and... You know, you bring the Starks into disrepute.
Okay, let's go to Jamie. Jamie, what it feels like there's a big mountain to climb for Ben. What do you think?
Yeah. First of all, let's deal with the Sean Bean issue, because I totally agree with you about he's a walking northern accent. I recently watched him in The Martian, which is a brilliant film, but I found him to be like the one character in it you were thinking, he's not always a very good actor, Sean Bean, and I really noticed it in that. Then your major objection with Game of Thrones seems to be there's too many characters, or there's too many families to deal with in one go. What you're talking about, I think that actually becomes the biggest strength of the show, because as you get to know more and more of the characters outside the main families of the Starks and the Lannisters, you really get fascinated. In the same way you do with some of the Walking Dead characters, there's some really juicy, meaty characters to get your teeth into in Game of Thrones, and that develops over the course of like two, three, four seasons. Fourth season of Game of Thrones for me is brilliant. It's like one of the best, most enjoyable seasons I've watched. And it's not like The Walking Dead in the way that it's humorless and slightly too morbid. It has a very good sense of humour, especially from characters like Tyrion Lannister. I think you'll get a lot out
Peter
of Dinklage. Like Tyrion.
Peter Dinklage character, I laughed out loud. I mean, he was brilliant. Oh,
well, if you like
and
him
he gets
now,
better.
Yeah, if you like him now, this. He is the. I mean, really, he becomes the hero of the piece, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
In many ways. I think mostly everybody else dies. Jack, you came to it late as well.
Yeah, I did. I flew through it, but I completely agree with what Ben said. At the start, it's very, very complex and very hard to wrap your head around, even just down to the character names. Yeah. I found was just. And my dad read that. I bought him the book, and he found exactly the same thing. And trying to have a conversation with somebody about it and list off character names can just, it does get ridiculous. But I think
I don't
the overall
names. I can't remember anybody's names really. I've only just learnt who Tyrion is, and I've watched every episode. So.
Yeah, it does get better though. I mean, even down to like the characters, Prince Oberyn, who's in, I think it's the fourth series, played by Pedro Pascal, who's now just starred in the Narcos on Netflix.
Yeah,
he's a brilliant actor, and he, even though he's only in it for a series, you can probably imagine what happens to him at the end of that series. the attention to detail throughout it, I think, is what is a real big strength of the show.
I would like to jump on that, because Ben, you mentioned, you know, it was much less tossy than you imagined it to be. And something when we had Simon Armstrong on, I'm sure you remember from like episode 3 of this podcast, Simon pointed out quite how well made it is. HBO have really funded the proper directors, proper writers. You know, there is not one bad actor in it. There are some actors who annoy me a little bit.
Really?
I think so.
There's two sets of brothers and sisters, both of which are sort of weirdly blonde and pale.
Yeah.
And just annoy me because they wouldn't get through childhood as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But they're just sort of weird little fantasy characters that I just think it's nonsense.
The point just, about
and they're
those,
both brother and sister.
Yeah. Now those characters. The point about those characters is that they are supposed to, at this point, annoy the tits off you. And if
well, they do. I mean, they do.
If they're annoying you now, is one of them? Is Ben talking about who I think he's talking about, Jamie?
Yeah, Jamie.
One of them is the dragon girl.
Oh, you're thinking of Daenerys?
And the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there's those lot, and then there's the other one, the two that you just said, the Lannisters.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're never too far. You are being annoyed by the right people.
As far as the fantasy thing goes, I mean, one of the reasons I love Game of Thrones is because I did a history degree, all right, and I studied medieval England, and there's a lot of medieval England. There's a lot of very historically relevant kind of dynamics in the family betrayals, in the gruesome battles. There's a lot of like,
which based
a lot
on
of
the
story
War of the Roses.
It's based on the War of the Roses. There's also a lot of European history. It's based on, so it does come from like a real world background. There is some sort of grounding to it. It's not completely fantasy.
I suppose weirdly that's actually what put me off at first was that I just thought, well, all that sort of medieval shit is like, I don't buy it. It's old and it's nonsense. And but I guess that's kind of what I found quite appealing, actually, ultimately, and that I can see that becoming less irritating. It's really put me off, the whole idea of that war, that sort of like, you know, War of the Roses with sort of dragons and blonde people.
And I think
people,
it's important as well to know that when the big stuff happens, you either care or hate the characters, you know. There's no one who you're particularly indifferent about. And as time goes on, when you get to stuff... So in the past, you've dipped into Game of Thrones later on, and it just seems like a big mess. By the time you get to that point, you kind of you have such a strong relationship with what's going on. Jack, do you agree?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of characters that you really love, you know, like there are a lot of characters, like the Jon Snow character, quite a moral, you know, you really start to feel empathy towards him. But then there are other characters that when they die, you just want to celebrate. really. You know, you either love or hate them. I think,
well, this is what I was implying before, you know, when Ben was talking about some certain annoying characters.
Yeah.
Isn't one of them the most annoying character that's ever been put on film?
Oh, my God, this guy. You'll absolutely despise him, but you will love watching the show to despise this character. I promise you, Ben, if you stick with it, there is one particular character that is just... all your hatred and all the anger and tension you feel in your life will just be focused on this one man's face. Yeah, I won't go into detail who it is, but you'll figure it out pretty quick. And you're totally right. And that hatred is quite an enjoyable... It's quite enjoyable hating a character that much.
I don't think I think there's two really original things in Game of Thrones. And one was mentioned by Russell Gomer on this podcast when he said Tyrion is such a great character because the dwarf is there not as a magical dwarf. He's there as a character who happens to have been born as a smaller person. And it's also mixed with that one of the... A really, really good both comic... and moral character, that character as well, or a morally questionable character, you know, moral as in you're not sure what his morals are at first. That's really original, and that is a driver that you really, really love. And then there is a certain other character that by the end of season one, all of your... I literally can't think of a character in anything that I've ever seen that is that comes close to being as annoying... And as this person, like how much you want this person to die. I've never... It really does, doesn't it? It makes you want to... There's not enough cruelty in the world that can be put onto this person, the amount that you want him to actually suffer. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. You want to punch this person into a fleshy pulp on a regular... I mean, I never thought... You always wonder if you're capable of killing another human being. Yeah. I would probably kill this person if they existed.
Yeah.
And I'm a good human being, you know.
I'm going to go to four.
Okay.
I'm going to go to four. Based on this conversation, I'm going to go to four episodes, and then I'm going to have to reassess.
Okay.
I'm more convinced, definitely.
Yeah.
Let me put another point to you, Ben. Okay,
right? Closing arguments.
One of the big strength, the big strengths of Game of Thrones, and I thought this so many times when I was watching it, is the total escapism. Like, how many TV shows do you watch that have that filmic feel, where you totally feel like you're escaping into a totally different realm and world and experience? You get, you know, from the icy drama of Winterfell to the betrayal of King's Landing, you travel across this huge world that's been created, and you get to just envelop yourself within this environment. And you get home, you know, you've been in the editing suite all day, Ben, you're knackered, you're sweaty, you're showered down, you're having a meal,
people.
You hate white people, you just want to relax, your kids are in bed. And you could put Game of Thrones on and just drift off into a strange world that has no bearing on your own existence.
No relevance or meaning is what I was going to say.
No, it definitely does. I agree with everything that Jamie said. And I would say there's very few TV series where they can get away with basically a 2-minute theme tune at the beginning.
I tell you what, I thought the opening credits are great for... They're a masterclass in explaining...
Everything.
A whole like epic dynasty, in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, totally.
Because you sort of suddenly you're like, even if you are familiar with the series, you're just reminded of all the different places and all the what the relationships are and what they stand for and stuff like that. That was like incredible storytelling.
Yeah, and it also becomes that feeling like you get filled with like childish excitement when the theme tune begins because you've not watched it yet. Jack, closing argument.
I kind of lead on a little bit from what Jamie said. When George R. R. Martin made it, he said he wanted to make a unfilmable series, but then HBO £60 million budget for 10 episodes has proved him wrong.
It's £8 million an episode now, isn't it?
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And It is amazing, and you do become... I binge watched it. I flew through.
Ooh, what was that?
Sorry, that was my dog.
I flew through all five series in about under, well, maybe under a month's a bit. Probably just over a month. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And I think what puts a lot of people off is when you start talking about dragons and you try and explain what a White Walker is, a lot of people do switch off. Yeah. But when you get into it, it really is something special.
Something Matt said last week when he was saying how he doesn't put The Walking Dead up there with the greats.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, I've been watching The Nick this week and thinking about how much I miss a Boardwalk Empire and ER and stuff that's really sort of quite lavish and quite sort of epic and sort of filmic, cinematic. And it did remind me that first episode, I was like, oh, wait a minute, we're not just in some little, like, poxy. We're not watching Atlantis.
Yeah.
We're not in some poxy sort of, you know, hokum period film. It feels epic.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing worse than when you're watching, like, especially the BBC dramas like Atlantis or the Robin Hood one, and I think ITV's Jekyll and Hyde's been criticised for looking cheap. You know when shows just look like they're cheap? Mm. Like, that you don't get with Game of Thrones, you know that this is... There's no expense spared in making something that you could watch on a on an IMAX screen, and it would be incredible.
And that isn't the be-all and end-all, because, like, I was watching Friends yesterday. The outdoor shots in Friends are just dreadful. You know, the little, like, streets in New York and stuff. Sometimes content wins over the budget that a studio has given something. And sometimes with Game of Thrones, I think they've taken liberties because they've got such budget. They've taken longer on this particular episode than they needed to. So it can work both ways. But it is amazing to sit and watch... Even that first episode, you know, if that was a self-contained story, if that was a movie, you wouldn't say, oh, that's a bit of a low-budget movie. It is, it's really good quality.
I think if you come out of this, Ben, watching four episodes, and you decide not to carry on, I'd be gutted because I'd like you to get to the stage where you're at season four, because I think, like, it gets so good around then, especially. I'd hate it for you not to see how good season four is.
Okay, so holding out for that. Can I skip to season four? Does that work?
Absolutely not. Absolutely, have you learned nothing? When you get to the Red Wedding or the Purple Wedding, you can watch it and then watch it again with our commentary on it as well. Don't forget.
Oh, I will. Whoa. That's the only one I've... Yeah.
Have you already done that? Did you do that when we...
That's the only one I've actually seen.
Right.
I saw that quite a while ago when it came on, but I have no idea. I have no recollection of who was in it, what happened to them, and I had no frame of reference.
Good.
So it's basically like I didn't watch it.
You begin to care about these people so much that when bad things happen to them, you start to hate the writer. That's where I'm at with it. It's like, how dare you? But as we've already learnt today, everybody dies. So, on that bombshell, thank you, Jack. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Jamie. Anyone got any final points to make? Does anyone feel like they haven't said, Jack, have we included you enough in this? I'm not sure if we have.
You have, no. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
All right. Good. And have you watched Chuck, Jack?
No.
All right. In the next couple of weeks, we will be getting on to that, which I'm sure we're all looking forward to. So email us, studio@theboxsetpod.com, on the subject of anything that we've discussed. Always nice to have your emails. And you might end up on the podcast like Jack has. Thanks, everybody.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.